I remember walking round the court square sidewalks, looking in windows, things I couldn't want. There's Johnson's Hardware and Morgan's Jewelry.
Mondays on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network is brought to you by BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com and remember to download the BetMGM mobile app today.
I go back now, the stores are empty.
No.
This
doesn't work. Trap horn does not work for this.
This is for Freddie. It's his 51st birthday today. Happy birthday, Freddie.
Happy birthday, Freddie the Pizza Man.
That's correct.
Happy 51st birthday, Freddie. Why in God's green earth would you play this for Freddie's birthday?
This is Alan Jackson, the little man. Freddie probably knows what the little man means. So happy 51st, Freddie.
You care to share with the rest of the class, the little man?
The little man's like the guy that's always grinding that no one pays attention to.
Oh, okay. All right, that's fair. I would have thought we would have got a little more like Freddie, like going Freddie's direction, you know? Freddie the Pizza Man, Italian. Makes pizza. I thought you'd have went with like a little something like this, you know? I thought you would have given a little heritage. If it's going to be his birthday. Happy birthday, Freddie. I would have thought you went, back to the old country. You decided to go Alan Jackson. If you could play a trap horn for Alan Jackson, you could hit me one here. No?
Hang on a second. I was answering the phone. Hang on.
Oh, he's answering the phone. We got phone calls. By the way, we got texts coming in, too. I got to imagine one of these is from Freddie. Monday is the new MMM. Monday, Michigan Man Love. I don't know if that's in regards to the University of Michigan or if that's in just to the state of Michigan, Traverse City, Petoskey, Charlevoix. Leelanau? Who doesn't love a little, pure Michigan? Yeah, it was pure Michigan, too. Oh, I had a tweet that gave the Buckeye fans. It was, I've been sitting on it. I've been waiting. With Ohio State losing to both Michigan and Michigan State in the same week, being able to put that red X through all of the M's. Oh, pure Michigan. Loved it. Love every second of it. How excited was Anthony watching Michigan State lose yesterday? Alex in Perrysburg is on hold. All right, we'll get to that text here in a minute. Let's get to Alex in Perrysburg. Alex, good morning to you, my friend. How are you, partner?
Good, Anthony. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Doing well. What's on your mind?
I'm a big Walleye fan. Just wanted to, it's been a while since the playoff game. It just doesn't feel right these days. About the Walleye, playing in March, April.
Yep, there's no hockey. Yeah, there's no hockey at the AA level, AAA, Grand Rapids, Taxi Squad, those guys kind of bouncing back and forth. But it has been a major adjustment with the whole COVID-19 situation and how that's affected minor leagues across the country. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, just, doesn't seem the same in T-Town about Walleye, Just kind of, helps everyone down there in that area.
Yeah, and that's minor league cities across the board. They took a huge, huge hit financially when it comes to, and that's just not only the teams, it's the entire community. So when it was released that minor league baseball for the AAA affiliate of the Tigers, the Toledo Mudhens, that they would be able to have fans this year, that they are going to play a season this year, that's monumental, not just for the organization, but for the downtown area. And for anybody who's been to a minor league ballpark, you know that the surrounding bar and restaurant scene, it was impacted greatly beyond measure at the fact that the sports teams closed down. And that's why, a lot of times when they talk about, they want to build a new arena or somebody somebody wants to bring a sports team to a city and they look at the economic impact of that, it's real. It definitely is real. I don't know about stadium upgrades and how much of a draw that is. I think that's a lot of times, you know, ownership trying to use public money for their private ventures. But when you look at having a sports team in a city, that's massive.
Yep. And then the another thing I wanted to talk about was I get to go around the Bowling Green basketball team. So, and you ever heard of Team Impact?
Team Impact. I have not heard of Team Impact.
No, Team Impact helps pair up medically fragile kids with either a local. Usually, I mean, you're not going to get paired up with a Duke or anything, but they find a smaller school and they can pair you up with them. You just kind of hang around and get to meet the guys. So it'd be nice to have another MAC tournament this year.
Really?
I got to miss out on that. What years, because I know you work for Toledo now. So what years did you work for Bowling Green?
2006 through 2011.
Okay.
2010.
I started.
2010, fall of 2010.
I started in. I believe it was the 2014 MAC season, so the 2014, the Chris Jans year.
Okay, yeah, I love that guy.
Yeah, I do too.
Things didn't go well for him there at the end at Bowling Green. On the court they were fine, just that they had a little off the court issue, and he since went to New Mexico State, and they were rolling last year. The Aggies of New Mexico State were, because he's one of those guys that, you know, he was so nice and so personable. He was one of those people you just kind of gravitated to, and you know, so wherever he goes, I will definitely follow and keep tabs on. They're not playing very well. They're not doing so hot this season, but last year they were on a roll. No, they really haven't. COVID is definitely. Yeah, COVID's hit that entire conference hard.
Yeah. But
Alex, man, appreciate the call this morning, brother.
Thank you.
All right, take care. There he goes, Alex. Team Impact. I've not heard of Team Impact.
That's cool.
Tournament. Yeah, you know what? Anytime, I know that a lot of there's a lot of sled hockey for those that have physical impairments, that, you know, youngsters that don't have the opportunity that, you know, just to play regularly. And I know that a lot of teams will you know, get on the sleds, the guys will, and they'll have a good time. And it's one of those, you know, I think that, you know, now more than ever in sports, we are paying a lot more attention to those who haven't been blessed with the same gifts and common things that we take for granted on a regular basis. And, you know, pro teams have really done a good job in community outreach in getting some of those kids involved and getting them opportunities. And having a chance to, you know, go out and play and be around the guys and have some of those games, some of those moments. So I applaud all the organizations that do that. I know a lot of football teams will bring youngsters in during training camps and, you know, different leagues and in their outreach. And it's important, man. It truly is, you know. So good on Team Impact. I've not heard of them. I'm going to have to do a little bit of research to see what they're about. How excited was I watching Michigan State lose yesterday? I didn't want to go this route. Maybe I'll save this for 8:35, but I giggled a little bit because I everything I needed to happen, Michigan State did a service for me, so I appreciate them. I appreciate Izzo taking care of Illinois. I appreciate Izzo taking care of Ohio State. And, you know, it didn't bother me that Maryland beat them. You know, I'll root for them, kind of.
You say that.
In games they're not playing.
You just said, I giggled when they lost, but I'll root for
them. I did. I was rooting for them. Like, good luck. I hope you go on the road and win the game against Maryland. It's needed. There's a very good debate happening right now between some of the great media members in the state of Michigan. And everybody has, like, they have opposing viewpoints right now. Graham Couch is in on this. Matt Charbonneau's in on this. Kyle Austin, Brendan Quinn. And they're all debating what it's going to take for Michigan State to get into the tournament. And they share some different viewpoints on both the net ranking and just, you know, games that are going to be needed in order for them to get in. And although they disagree, it's a very respectful disagreement on Twitter. And I think it might be the first time in Twitter's
existence. Well, because they all cover Michigan State basketball.
but people brought multiple viewpoints to the table, and they can do it civilly. It's like, is this what Twitter was for? If so, I think it's incredible.
Yeah, this debate probably would have happened during the beating of Maryland at Maryland, like in press row. when the game got to like 18 points. Probably would just happen like amongst themselves, but since they don't see each other anymore, it's got to happen
over Twitter.
They took
it to the Twitter. I love it. I think it's great, and we all get to kind of watch and take part in it. Let's step aside. We'll come back. Did Chris Spielman tip everybody on where the Lions might go in round number one? We'll get into that next here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
Hey, don't just sit there on the sidelines, man. You're a starter, right? You're a type A personality. Get in the game and grab your piece of the sports betting action with BetMGM. Hi, this is Matt Shepard. Sign up using bonus code SHEPBET, and your first bet is totally risk-free, up to $600. Register now, and you'll also gain access to BetMGM's innovative parlay selection features, live betting options, daily boosted odds specials, and more. The March matchups in college hoops are red hot, and there's plenty of exciting showdowns in pro basketball and hockey as well. Whatever your favorite sport might be, BetMGM has you covered. Simply download the BetMGM app or go to BetMGM.com and enter bonus code SHEPBET to get back up to $600 in free bets on your first wager. Make every game and every play mean so much more with the king of sportsbooks. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Must be 21 years or older, Michigan only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons.
At Meijer, your health and safety is our first priority. That's why Meijer Pharmacy has partnered with the CDC to administer free COVID-19 vaccinations when they become available to us. Register now to get your free COVID vaccinations at Meijer and get updates to your phone. Text COVID to 75049 to get started. That's COVID to 75049. You can also visit your Meijer pharmacist or go to clinic.meijer.com for more information.
If you or your family is touched by autism, learn more about Freddy's Foundation at #PopTheTap at FreddyThePizzaMan.com. That's FREDI, ThePizzaMan.com. Or email FreddyThePizzaMan at gmail.com.
BetMGM Monday on X's and Bros across the great state of Michigan on the Michigan Sports Network. Don't forget to download the BetMGM mobile app today and visit the website at BetMGM.com.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Ryan Elke and Danny Cahalan in Motor City Studio. I'm Anthony Bellino, company for the Radio Bunker. And an article came out this week from our friend Eric Schlitt, who's now over at Pride of Detroit. And it was writing a little bit about the theory that Chris Spielman might be approaching this upcoming draft with. A really interesting write-up, as, you know, he quoted a couple of Spielman's media interview and then, you know, something via the Free Press as well. Quote, I'll have to ask Brad Holmes or Dan Campbell this theory, but I have a theory that you kind of, back when I played, used to build from the inside out. Well, today's league, I think you build from the outside in. The concept of building from the outside, putting an emphasis on, you know, on the exterior of your offense and your defense. You can always create pass rush with pressure, said an NFL coach to the Chicago Tribune, but it's hard to create pass coverage, the ability to cover one-on-one. If you've got a guy you know can wipe out one side of the field, that's pretty damn valuable. I'd like them both, but if I've got to pick one, I'm taking a cornerback. Pro Football Focus then did a data study on coverage versus pass rush, and their findings also support the idea that pointing to both being valuable in their own ways, the ability to cover has more significance with when measuring the value of a particular player. I thought that was very interesting, because does it tell you where Spielman thinks that this team might go in the draft? Building from the outside in. So they went with Jeff Okudah, and we know that the Jeff Okudah debate is, it's a debate, right? It is definitely a debate. There's no doubt about that, whether or not, you know, you think that the pick was the appropriate pick at the time, if you should have went quarterback. I believe that with the quarterback in hand, you had to get better on the defensive side of the football. They didn't necessarily do that. I don't think that Jeffrey Okuda all of a sudden forgot how to play corner, and he's no longer going to be, you know, a quality NFL cornerback, considering he was one of the top guys in the draft, if not the best corner in the draft coming out of college. But I do think that the offseason disrupted things. I don't think that that's an excuse. I think that that's a fact. And I think that when you talk to people in the league and they talk about the disruption of OTAs or rookie minicamp and things of that nature that are just going to set a player who's trying to enter the league, it's going to set them behind, especially in a position like that. And Okuda struggled early. We got the training camp reports, of him, you know, slipping and falling against Kenny Galladay. It was like, oh, this guy can't cover Kenny G. Well, hey, here's the interesting part is that Mel Kiper bringing up his 2021 NFL Draft Mock Draft 2.0, and in a scenario in which the Lions would move their pick from 7, would go to the 49ers.
For the record, by the way,
yes,
this is the first year Mel Kiper is doing trades in his mock drafts.
This is true. And I don't put a whole lot of stock into mock drafts because, you know, like, what's the percentage of picks you get right? And the Lions would get number 12 in exchange for 7, the 49ers move up to 7 to take Justin Fields, maybe give Fields a year to redshirt, and, you know, the 49ers one more run with Jimmy Garoppolo. Maybe they replace him right away. Not really sure. But the Lions would then get picks number 12 and number 43, plus a first-round pick in 2022. If this is the case, you absolutely, without a doubt, make that move. Because you talk about jump-starting the rebuild, adding draft capital does that. Moving back 5 spots in this year's draft, plus acquiring pick number 43, a second rounder, and an additional first rounder in 2022, that's huge. Now, whether that's my guy, Micah Parsons, who I'm very, very, very excited about, if there is an opportunity to land a player like that, but building from the outside in, what exactly does that mean? What if the Lions say, no, we're not giving up 7? Because we like who is at number 7 on the perimeter. Well, who might that entail? What if the Lions went wide receiver? And this, again, is one of those situations where we've seen it play out in the past, and you hate to bring up some of our past draft discretions, if you will, but where we were going wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver, like every year. If you believe that Jared Goff can be the guy at least for a year, maybe two, you have to assume Jamar Chase is going to be off the board. And Devontae Smith, more than likely, off the board. If they go back to 12. If they stay at 7, do you have the opportunity to add Alabama's Devontae Smith? Or what if Miami goes with Devontae Smith because the Alabama connection there with Tua, they want to add him, give him another weapon. And then you have Jamar Chase or Jalen Waddle. Jamar Chase out of LSU. Jalen Waddle out of Alabama. Jalen Waddle's 5'10 and 177. Jamar Chase, 6'208. Devontae Smith, also very small. 6'170. Looks like he's run on twigs out there. But do you think that that's worth the Lions making that selection at 12, going wide receiver, knowing that you get the additional second-round pick if things were to play out like that, if those players were still on the board? You know, does Nico Collins last long enough to go to the second round, and is that a good option for the Lions to get a big-bodied receiver like Nico Collins, who at 6'4 and 220, graded at an 83, the 50th best player in the draft overall, according to ESPN.com, and number 9 at his position, if he's available in that second round, is that a route you go if you go linebacker in the first? This is going to be the most intriguing draft I think that the Lions are going to have in quite some time. Because with the amount of picks that the Detroit Lions have, this makes things very, very exciting for this team and for this franchise and for the rebuild as a whole. Sitting at number 7 right now, you got to feel really good. And you got to feel as if you have some options. And if you have the opportunity to move back just 5 places, just 5 spots, still get the player that you are wanting, or there's obviously with your big board, there are you're targeting everybody, depending on what your need is. But what is the biggest need for this Lions team? How does this franchise look at it if, you know, Kenny Golladay, we're still waiting on the news. Will he be franchise tagged or not? Are they going to wait till the 11th hour to do that? If Marvin Jones Jr. is going to follow Matthew Stafford and go out to L.A., if Danny Amendola decides not to come back, your two remaining good starting pieces on the offensive side of the football from a skill position standpoint, Pro Bowler T.J. Hockenson and running back DeAndre Swift, who the organization believes he could be a 25-touch-per-game kind of player. That's interesting. Do the Lions try to add more depth at running back at some point in this year's draft because Kerryon Johnson can't stay healthy? Kerryon's shown flashes. But DeAndre Swift, I would say, would be the clear-cut number one. But now you have a problem at receiver with only Quintez Cephas being your lone receiver under contract for this upcoming year. So do you address that early, right away, at either 7 or 12, if they can move back? I have never seen this before where I feel really like a lot of people last year, like, oh, just move back in the draft. Well, you need a corner. Get the best corner in the game that's coming out. Okay, they got him. And we know that defense wasn't any good. They couldn't develop a pass rush, and they couldn't cover one-on-one down the field. So that's a huge problem. Huge issue. Will Jeffrey Okuda make a big jump under this new coaching staff, under this new defensive staff in Detroit, with Oruwariye on the other side? Two very young corners that could be around for a long time. You start to build on that interior of the front seven. What's more valuable, your ability to cover or your ability to get to the quarterback? Can you develop a pass rush with only four? It means your defensive line has to be tough. Can your linebackers cover in space? And can they get to the quarterback when they're sent? A lot of questions. Love the idea of moving back to 12. Pray to God that Mel Kiper is right. If he's got to be right about one thing, let's let it be this. And then whether they can go wide receiver, if one of those three guys is still on the board, or Micah Parsons at linebacker, I think it's a win-win for this organization. I think it makes this draft very, very attractive for Lions fans. Let's step aside when we return. Busy weekend. I was happy. Ryan was sad. College hoops. That's next here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Anthony Bellito here on behalf of TwinSpires Online Sportsbook, Racing, and Casino. TwinSpires is now live in Michigan, and they're offering new players their best offer yet with up to $1,000 in risk-free bets. TwinSpires is backed by the same team as the Kentucky Derby and Churchill Downs Racetrack and brings over 140 years of tradition, excitement, and wagering experience. Whether you're an avid gambler or a first-timer, they've got your bets. And now with Hall of Fame quarterback Brett Favre on board as the sportsbook ambassador, TwinSpires is coming out of the starting gates with their best offer yet. For new players in Michigan, TwinSpires will give you 7 days of risk-free betting up to $1,000. You heard that right, up to $1,000 in one whole week to try your luck. Bet on the game this weekend, or if you're bored at work, give European soccer a shot, risk-free from your phone. Just download the TwinSpires Casino and Sportsbook app today and enter the promo code FREE1000 to participate. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit www.twinspires.com. Must be 21 years of age and older and physically present in Michigan to bet. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-270-7117.
Bill Simonson here for my good friend John Kornack. Now, he heads up the Eisenhower Center, America's leader when it comes to traumatic brain injury rehabilitation. Now, they've partnered with Selfridge Air Force Base on the east side of the state in Harrison Township, just north of the Detroit metro area. And they do have a Veterans Rehabilitation Center at Selfridge Air Force Base, and they're looking to expand it. So they're going to need philanthropists listening right now across the state who can step up and help our veterans get back to living the lives they deserve to lead. So what you can do, if you have the means to step up and help the Veterans Rehabilitation Center at Selfridge Air Force Base, which is part of the Eisenhower Center program, just go to eisenhowercenter.com. And then you'll find a way to get a message to John Kornack, who heads up the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor.
Mondays on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network is brought to you by BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com and remember to download the BetMGM mobile app today. Yes,
Welcome back here. Great song choice, Dan. Two X's and Bros here on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Haidlin, Ryan Elke in the Motor City Studio. Anthony Bellino company for the Radio Bunker. Text the keyword sports radio to 21,000. Sports radio to 21,000. Auto Valley guest line 313-396-5527. 313-396-5527. We're on Twitter at XB Mornings, Facebook, X's and Bros. And of course, good morning to our television audience as well on Comcast Channel 900. Miss any portion of the show? You want to listen back to anything you may have missed on demand? You can visit our SoundCloud, Google, Apple, Spotify, and iHeartRadio app pages. Plus, you can listen online all the time on MichiganSportsNetwork.com, MichiganSportsNetwork.com. Just to kind of reset where we're at, the Detroit Red Wings lost last night 7-2 to the Chicago Blackhawks. The Pistons lost as well 109-90 to the New York Knicks. How about the New York Knicks this season? Julius Randle. Have they figured things out without any big-time superstar name? Julius Randle, is he becoming a superstar? The Michigan Wolverines won over the weekend, taking out Indiana on the road. Congratulations to them. Michigan State fell yesterday to Maryland, 73-55. And, of course, if you were interested in the Big Ten hoops picture, you would have had Iowa beating Ohio State at Ohio State. So let's hop into that. Let's just get right into the college basketball conversation, because this is one that's going to get a little bit messy. There was a quote from Tom Izzo that has been floating around about the net ranking and how do we use it as an evaluation tool. And look, folks, there is no great way to try to determine what exactly is the best way to come up with a way to evaluate teams. And Tom Izzo had said, quote, "I'm a little upset about the net thing, because everyone is bringing up the net thing. So instead of beating Notre Dame by 28, we beat them by 10 because I put subs in. I thought we got rid of that crap back when in football, when Oklahoma was beating people 88-0. I'm never going to run up scores or do stuff or get guys fired. That would be my only thing. I think we're as good as a lot of teams. I don't think we're better than some teams. I think we've dug ourselves a hole. You know, we said that when, you know, that could haunt us, and it could. But we still have three opportunities ahead of us. We don't have to win every game. We have to win some games." And I thought that that's a very interesting quote, because somebody by the name of Jeff Dillon, at Jeff R. Dillon on Twitter, put something together and had tweeted it out to Matt Charbonneau, Graham Couch, and Brendan Quinn about their 27 points victory falling to 18 points with under 3 minutes to go. A 13-point margin falling to 6 with under 3 minutes to go. A 22-point win that fell to 16 with under 2 minutes to go. And another 20-point spread that fell to 10 with 4 minutes to go. And it was talking about efficiency. These games were in the non-conference against Oakland, which was a 109-91 victory as a final score. Against Duke, in which they're up 68-55, and the final score there was 75-69. Against Eastern, when they were up 81-59, and that game ended up being 83-67. And against Notre Dame, when they were up 77-57, and it turned into a 10-point victory, 80-70. So the question is how exactly are we evaluating teams, and can Michigan State get in? Right? That's what we really want to know, is that will Michigan State be able to keep their streak alive? The easiest thing to say in response to that is handle your business and you don't have anything to worry about. You know, win the games in front, but it's not that easy, because in college basketball, it's a long season and you're going to lose some games. I thought what Juwan Howard's wife Janine had said over the weekend is that, you know, she said that college basketball is way more stressful than the NBA.
I thought you were going to bring up the tweet where she said, "I'm not trying to get cocky, but man, we're good," which was an awesome tweet.
That was great. I think she said the S word on Twitter, which we can't utter on the radio, but she was like, yeah, no. And it's funny, because it's interesting, because she does tweet. You know, she'll be like, "Boy, I put my son in the game." It's hilarious, right? It's great, because it gives you that kind of like that inside the family dynamic, because she'll live tweet during a game or whatever. But she, you know, she said, like, in the NBA, I didn't pay attention to the second round of the playoffs. She's like, "This is stressful. This is every game, really?" Like, yeah. Welcome to college hoops. It's even worse than college football, when you know you can't lose, because if you lose, your season's basically over. And then you're going to go face your rival and they're going to beat you by 30. You'll face your other rival and they'll beat you by 3. You got 6 Heisman quarterbacks on the roster. You're still losing games. What are we doing? Anyways, back to hoops. Michigan goes on the road. They take on the Indiana Hoosiers, which many thought, this could be a trap game. You got to go to Assembly Hall. Tough place to play. Hardy har har. Yeah, okay. 73-57 is your final score. Another game in which, you know, the Wolverines their diversity, their ability to beat you in a whole different bunch of ways. Franz Wagner is playing lights out basketball right now. He scores 21. Isaiah Livers adds 16. Hunter Dickinson goes for 13. By the way, Isaiah had a double-double with 16 and 10. Not a very active bench game, though, at all. They got 3 points off the bench. That's a concerning number to me, but you have to nitpick because what else are you going to say? They beat the Hoosiers on the road by 16, and here comes a very challenging test for the Wolverines. Tomorrow night, they get Illinois, ranked number 5 in the country. That ranking might change a little bit later on today, 7 o'clock tip-off on ESPN. And then on Thursday, ESPN doing favors across the board because they heard us. They listened to the show, guys, and they said, hey, Dan and Anthony, you guys no longer have to go anywhere at 9 o'clock. Ryan, you don't have to stay up till midnight. We're going to do that show, that morning show in Michigan. We're going to do them a solid and schedule everything at 7 o'clock, and I love it. And plus Sunday's game on the road at the Breslin, 4:30 tip-off. So great. Great news for all of us across the board. And, of course, it's Selection Sunday.
If you could get those NBA guys not to do 8 p.m. tips on the East Coast on Sundays, that'd be great.
So after working with ESPN directly and Fox Sports, I will call Adam Silver. We'll get it done. We'll do a 6:30
tip. I mean,
tip.
If 6:30 is great.
I'm all for 6:30. But we know that Michigan is in, right? There's... We know this. The question is, what they're probably going to be a one seed. That's what it's going to be.
Probably.
Selection Sunday is March 14th. We're going to get geared up, ready to go for the Big Ten tournament. We got to make through. I say probably. I'm not putting the cart in front of the horse. They're going to be a one seed. There's a big debate going on right now whether they should be number one in the country over Gonzaga because Gonzaga hasn't played anybody. By the way, it is Gonzaga, not Gonzaga. That's why they put Zags on the jerseys to emphasize the fact that you're supposed to say Zaga. Neither here nor there. They don't play anybody in their conference, but they have to schedule a tough non-conference. They did. They've taken care of business to this point. They came in with a higher ranking. I have no problem with Gonzaga remaining number one. Does not matter to me whatsoever. You know what matters to me? Tomorrow night's game against Illinois. Now, we're going to get into the Brad Underwood comments here momentarily. What in the hell happened to the Spartans? They went on the road against Maryland. They lose 73-55. Did I smile inside? Somewhere deep I did, but I didn't because I was like, I want Ryan to see me smile like this. I was pulling for Michigan State to win that game and to win this week against Indiana. They'll have Indiana tomorrow at home, 8 o'clock tip-off. I can only work so much magic here. So right. I got 7 o'clock for my guys. Your guys take a back seat to 8 o'clock. And then 2 against Michigan.
Yeah, and this game I was kind of fearing was going to happen sooner or later. For Michigan State after
the Maryland game.
The Maryland game.
Okay.
Like being in hell week, 4 games in 7 days. Now you have 3 games this week as well. With Henry in the against Indiana and Illinois playing the full 40 minutes, playing with 30 minutes against Ohio State because of foul trouble. Your legs are going to catch up. Like your legs can't catch up that quickly. Like, there was going to be a tired game somewhere, and this is where it was.
And you heard Spike Albrecht tell us that after games, like, there would be games where he'd be iced up and he felt like he couldn't walk.
Right. And so, like,
to put that workload on a handful of a couple players, to put that kind of workload on them, you can't expect that same production.
Right. And it's like, yeah, you can bring in subs, but it's like, then you're really just hurting yourself, and you're not going 13 deep this late in the season when you're making a tournament push. So, like, this game was eventually going to come to them. Now it's all about how do you respond on another quick turnaround. Because you don't have this catch-up. Like, your next catch-up moment is at the end of the regular season going into the Big Ten tournament. So, again, to me, like, I felt like this game was coming. I was a little nervous going into this game after this entire week. Then Maryland goes on an 11-0 run to start the game. And the game kind of just stayed at between like 8 and 11 points for the next 30 minutes. So, like, it was almost like State was staying in long enough to feel like there's a possibility they could steal this game out. And like about 5 minutes left, that's when Maryland finally pulled away again. So it was just, again, shots were coming short. Legs were getting high enough on jump shots for Henry and Langford. You can easily tell what Maryland was trying to force MSU to be a jump shooting team because they knew they're a tired team. Maryland did their job. forced MSU out of a comfort zone for a tired team and took full advantage. Like, there's really no ifs, ands, or buts around it. Some fans were complaining about officiating. It's like, well, Michigan State's not going to draw fouls if they don't go into the lane. It's plain and simple. Like, how have we not gotten that after this many months of seeing this MSU team play? You don't work the ball inside, you're not getting the fouls. And even then, the fouls weren't even that big of a discrepancy. It was like 19 to 16. It's just Maryland being a 68% free throw shooting team goes 26 to 27.
Yeah, it's not something you necessarily, I mean, they had a nice day at the stripe, but you mentioned right. It. Like, they were going to run into this game. It was going to happen eventually.
Right.
And the fact that it was Maryland, you know, if they could have survived Maryland and Indiana and had had this Maryland game against Michigan, would have been a little different, because it would have felt like Michigan State was picking up on that momentum. Okay, you beat Illinois, you beat Ohio State. If you beat Maryland, they would have been what, 14-9 had they beat Maryland. So do you put them after this week that they've had? Does Izzo get that benefit of the doubt from the Associated Press to say, hey, they might have struggled early, but this team is on a roll. They've now got more quality wins than a lot of teams in the top 25. Do you start to have that discussion?
I think as of right now, not counting the Indiana game, I would put them in because of the week they had. Because what is it say when it's like, okay, their fourth game in seventh day, they lose on the road to a tournament team.
And you have to have an off day every week. Like, that's a requirement by the NCAA.
Right.
An off day is off. Like,
so
no,
their
nothing.
Off day was, I believe, Friday after the Ohio State game or whichever. They had Friday and Saturday, those 2 days. So I don't know which day was their off day. But it's like, okay, like, if they would have beat Maryland, fine. Whatever happens against Indiana. But, like, for, as you hear Loach say, you just heard Shep say it, that they need to beat Indiana. They need to beat Michigan. They need a couple wins in the Big Ten tournament. I don't think they need that much. I think they need to beat Indiana. That's the important game. And win their first Big Ten tournament game. Because are you going to punish
it? Keep it respectable against Michigan.
But it's like, are you going to punish the team that loses to the number two team in the nation 3 times in a week? When you have teams like Seton Hall in who haven't beat a ranked team through the entire year.
Yeah.
So it's like, what are you really valuing here when it comes to tournament selection? And like some experts have Michigan State in as of now. Some, like Joe Lenardi, like, oh, loss against Maryland, you're out. But Minnesota will have you higher ranked, even though you just lost to the worst Power 5 basketball school in the last 5 years in Nebraska.
Like, yeah, I don't know how Minnesota at 6-12 in the league and 13-12 overall. I don't know how they justify that.
Right.
You know, I think that it's difficult with all of the conference centric play that the bulk of the meat and the potatoes of your schedule is typically your conference, right? But the non-conference schedule was cut so short that you really don't have an opportunity to build up a lot of wins. When you have to play a conference that features Purdue, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Maryland, Iowa, Illinois, Michigan. Like, these are good teams, and this is a reason why you have that conversation about how many teams from one Power 5 conference can get into the tournament. For the Big Ten, it could be anywhere between 8 and 10 teams. And I think that's if they go all the way to 10, you know, this is from a mid-major standpoint. This is where you look at it in writing about it. You can check it out, MichiganSportsNetwork.com, if you'd like. I really believe that the winner of the regular season for the mid-majors should get the nod to go to the tournament, because the conference tournaments do a disservice to the body of work that a team has put together. So right now, one of our affiliate stations, Toledo, the Rockets have an opportunity. They've already clinched the number one seed in the MAC tournament. They can win the Mid-American Conference outright with a win tomorrow night against your Central Michigan Chippewas. Do we wager on the game? Maybe we do. I don't know. Take me for pizza.
Yeah, I'm going to take whatever the Toledo line is.
Okay, well, Toledo, they've done a really good job covering the spread. It was 16.5.
Except the one game I bet on.
Sorry. Sorry about that. They were 16.5 point favorites against Western, and they beat the bloody hell out of the Broncos. Like, Western, just a disaster. Anywho.
But as for Michigan State, I think their most important game for them to get in the tournament is beating Indiana. Because if you don't, then you have to beat Michigan at some point. And let's be honest, No one sees that happening. Not me.
I don't like that. Dan, mark it down at this moment, 8:50 on Monday, when he says they don't have a chance. No one's expecting Michigan State. It's a rivalry game. Anything can happen. Ball bounces a couple certain ways. A little foul trouble.
Still.
I don't like it. I live in a state of fear.
Do you live in a state of fear until 6 hours before game time? Then you'll start getting the hype.
I live in a state of fear until 0-0 is on the clock. I told you about the text I received from one of the college ADs that's in charge of the Midwest, and he's on the committee for the selection committee. And, you know, Michigan was a five and a half point favorite over Iowa. And he said, "What do you think?" And I said, "Well, I'm nervous." He said, "You don't need to be nervous. This is a double digit win." And I said, "Well, that's easy for us to say pregame, but no, I live in a state of fear." And he's like, "No, it's a double digit win. You'll be fine." And then Michigan ends up pounding them by 20. And I was like, "Well, I was nervous about the five."
Right.
I was nervous
about that. Congrats on Michigan for making a lot of people a lot of money this season.
Yeah, they've done real well, huh? They've been covering everything. They'll get Illinois tomorrow. Brad Underwood's comment, did you see this? Quote, "We're going to honor the postponed games because we're a member of this league, and we're not going to be the teams that pick and choose what we play for, whatever. We're going to show up. I think it's about character, and this team has a ton of it." We're going to honor the postponed games because we're a member of this league. We're not going to be the teams that pick and choose what we play for, whatever. We're going to show up. I think it's about character, and I think this team has a ton of it. Brad Underwood. Is that a shot at Michigan? Did you send a shot to the Wolverines?
Just lighting the fire. Not that Michigan really needs one lit because they're playing for a Big Ten championship Tuesday. They win, they've got it. Now it's like, do we beat them by 15 or do we pour it on and go for 35?
I think that that might be one of those games where everybody just kind of smiles at each other when they walk away at the end of the game. But, I think that that's enough. I've heard enough. Because of bulletin board, we're going to. And he's already, Brad Underwood's getting ahead of the game a little bit. You know, he's got a big matchup against Hunter Dickinson. He said that Kofi Coburn is the most abused player in college basketball. Well, don't tell Luka Garza that, okay? Because Luka's not going to handle that very well. I can tell you that much. God bless
Luka Garza. Just
don't look at him wrong. You will get a foul.
When I was watching the game yesterday, there was a foul not called on him. There was an inbound pass. It was a bad pass. He was complaining for a foul, and he was just going berserk that there's no foul call. He's smacking his elbow like, "They got me. They got me." It's like, bro, you're the only college player with a whistle right now. Like, calm
crazy.
Down.
Crazy, right? Unbelievable. Hey, that's it. We're running out of time. For Danica Halen and Ryan Elke, I'm Anthony Bellino saying so long. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back in action tomorrow morning, same time, same place, right here on the Michigan Sports Network.